You and happy holiday. Today's a holiday. It's Mother's Day. Don't look surprised, please. Let me do have another small celebration. I think I noticed Dan Patton got an award for his work that he's been doing, and I saw it on Facebook, so it must be true. I don't know how many of you saw that. Yeah, several of you. Yeah, look it up.
Brother Lee, Katie Bowman graduated from
Oh, yes. Katie Bowman graduated from pharmacy school, and she's going to work for a year at the University of Mississippi before she goes into private practice. But that's a big move too. 8 years of schooling. Gene Brooks is going in for surgery this week, but he tells me it's outpatient surgery. So that's good. And we'll be praying for him. I don't have any other announcements.
I have one. Brother Lee, Dwight Willis, a friend of all of ours, everyone knows Dwight, I think. He had appendicitis and busted on him, so they operated on him, I think, Tuesday or something, but he's home this morning, I called him.
What was his name again?
Dwight Willis.
Dwight Willis, okay. You know, there have been a lot of poems and songs and books and movies written about true love. That's the subject we all like to think about. Jesus demonstrates it. In that upper room, for example, just a few hours away from his own torture and death, Jesus knows that of the 12 men in the room with him, one of them will betray him, one of them will deny him, and all of them will desert him. Nevertheless, he stoops and does the work of a slave by washing their feet. He says he loves them and loves them to the end. I guess he meant the end of his horrific journey, in spite of their unfaithfulness. And his love has not changed. He still loves us even when we're unfaithful and imperfect. His death on the cross was a full measure of love, and it was meant for us as well as them. So as we share in communion today, be sure to thank God for his sacrifice. which gives us sure and certain hope for the future.
Thank you for this day, and we also thank you for this church and making it possible for us to be here this morning. Lord, this is a day that we celebrate our mothers, and as I think back about our mother, even though she's been gone 9 years, I just think about a blessing it would be to be able to sit down and just talk to her one more time. And Lord, when you think about it, we are provided that opportunity, and we realize it took your son's body and blood for us to have this opportunity. And we lift this cup this morning and partake of this wafer, which we use to represent, to help us remember that sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And if it wasn't for that, we would have no way to ever reconnect with the people that we've lost. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that we receive. As we bring forth this gift, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh.
I hope you'll join me in singing together, first of all, hymn number 516. I love to tell the story. Number 516. Okay. Keeping with the holiday spirit, let's turn to number 151 and sing together Faith of Our Mother. As verses on two different pages.
In mercy, Lord, and by His divine love.
Our prayer hymn, we turn to number 315 and sing together just the first verse as we stand together and join in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning on the behalf of the mothers you've created. We thank you for the sacrifice each mother gives to her children. We thank you for the late nights rocking a colicky infant, for the hands that are weary from washing and wiping and scrubbing and mixing and stirring and hugging and patting and holding and pouring and disciplining. We pray you'll give each mom strength. Help her to understand that the most important, the most unexpected, the most world-changing events may have their beginning in her home. We ask you to be every mother's source of spiritual and physical strength. Lord, help each mother to remember you are the creator and the sustainer of life. Most of all, Lord, on this day in which we honor our mothers, may we love and cherish these special women who have borne us, who have nurtured us, who have prayed for our well-being. Lord, may our hearts overflow with gratitude because you have formed and knitted each one of us in a mother's womb. As we offer up our praise and our gratitude for your unending love and forgiveness, may our hearts embrace all for whom Jesus died because you love them all. And we pray in the holy name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. I wanted to read some scripture from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Not the whole chapter, just the part that pertains to mothers and kids. A wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I just thought those words were very fitting for a day like this, and wanted you to have them. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Lincoln's mother must have had a great influence on him, perhaps more than his father did. But I think mothers of the past did tend to have more influence on their children than modern mothers who are not home all the time. It was rare in those days for someone to work outside the family, outside the home. And my own mother was a stay-at-home mom, mostly, until World War II came along. My dad was too old for military service. He did his part in World War I. I was too young. I was just still a preteen when the war started. But my brother, as soon as Pearl Harbor happened, he enlisted in the Army. And when his re-enlistment came, he switched to the Air Force and spent the rest of his working career there. Mom went to work at Goodyear Aircraft, bucking rivets, as she helped to build Vatsikorsky Corsair airplanes. And I can tell you, it was sure different having Mom gone all day. Quite different. Somehow I think, though, that there are many mothers today who would prefer to stay at home and do motherly things. But the pressure of society, wanting more and doing more, forces a lot of women to have full-time jobs outside the home. That's sad, but it's true. Perhaps if we all lived on less, we would have more. We might have less material things, but we could have more spiritual values and strength. And we could have more influence on our children. Before I begin my sermon, though, no, this is not halfway through. I haven't started yet. Let me share two gems of wisdom that you might want to write down. Number one is a question. What three words solve every problem that Dad has? What three words? Ask your mom. Charlene knew that one. The second is, it's never easy being a mother, we know that. Well, if it were easy, dads could do it. How about that? Well, today we want to honor our mothers. And of course, honoring them should be an ongoing thing, not just one day a year. But I want to point out three different scriptures that pay tribute to mothers. And the first one is found in Romans 16:13, where the Apostle Paul writes to the folks in the city of Rome, the church at Rome, and he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me also." The Apostle Paul said the mother of his friend Rufus had been a mother to him as well. No doubt she had concern for Paul like any mother would have. She might have cooked for him. She might have sewed buttons on for him or done things that any mother would do for a friend of her son. Did you ever have a childhood friend who stayed at your house most of the time? If so, did your mother mother them like she mothered you? Or maybe it was you who stayed at your friend's house and his mother became a second mother to you. Did you ever have a second mother? They say once a mother, always a mother. And when a mother ceases to have children at home, she's still a mother. And she can still do motherly things, even if it's a matter of mothering other people's children. John Edwards was a U.S. Senator from North Carolina. His wife Elizabeth died of cancer and left behind not only her three children, but also a grieving nanny. Who says Elizabeth Edwards was like a mother to her. Heather North was her name. She was a nanny for the Edwards family for several years. She said, I've lived with them for a lot of years, every single day, and she's my second mother. She helped shape the person that I am. We love her dearly. She's an important woman, an amazing woman. Isn't that a nice tribute? Coming from somebody that's not even part of your family. There's another girl in Texas who wrote about one of her teachers. Said, teachers are like second parents. She said, between junior high and high school, I had 36 different teachers. And none of them made a bigger impact on her life, she said, than Mrs. Lisa Benson, who taught accounting at the high school. She said, she helped mold my future. As a freshman, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But the first day of class, Mrs. Benson discussed accounting, what it was and how it relates to the real world. And she said, at that moment, I knew I wanted to be an accountant. She explained everything. Honestly, no sugarcoating. And she said, that made me choose my life career. And I just thought that's a nice tribute, too, to a teacher who became a second mother. Thank God for mothers who never stop loving, never stop giving, never stop caring. Never stop mothering, even if it's not their own children. Because a mother never ceases being a mother. Now, there's another scripture in the 6th chapter of Ephesians which tells me that a mother teaches a child one very valuable lesson, obedience. Paul writes to the Ephesians. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I think Paul is simply saying life is going to be a lot easier for you if you learn the lesson of obedience. If children are going to be obey their parents, that means mama too. I know my mother did as much of the discipline as my dad did. She didn't wait for him to come home. She didn't use a razor strap or a belt like some dads or moms do, but I do remember the last time she disciplined me, and I think I've told you this before. I don't know what it was that I did, but she made me go out and cut a switch and bring it in, and then she used it on me, and I stood there and laughed. I was 13 or 14 years old. And I stood there and laughed, and I know that must have hurt her, now that I think back on it. But I still got the point, and whatever it was I had done, I didn't do it anymore. There was a mother, mother of a problem child. You ever hear of those? She saw a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, "You are far too upset and worried about your son. I suggest you take tranquilizers regularly." So on the next visit, the psychiatrist asked, "Well, have the tranquilizers calmed you down?" And the boy's mother said, "Yes." "And how's your son now?" "Who cares?" That is not the answer to raising a child, not even a problem child. The late Irma Bombeck, humorist of special quality, Irma Bombeck wrote, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they finally settle down, then I climb out." Another mother said, "I love to play hide and seek with my kid, but some days my goal is to find a hiding place where he can't find me until after high school." Well, a mother teaches her children to obey because that's an important lesson, very important. Proverbs speaks to that time and time again. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Or, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Somebody said these insightful words, I thought, to mothers. Children are going to grow up, so they need to be taught to obey the rules. They're going to have a hard time following rules, have a hard time obeying their boss, obeying the laws of the land and the government, if you don't teach them how to obey when they're little. If you don't, they'll be saying, "Well, all the world's against me. Nobody likes me. Nobody let me do anything." And wonder why everybody in society is not nice to them. But if you teach them obedience when they're small, then they get the point. And they understand that sometimes you take orders, sometimes you give orders. I remember a cousin of mine, I think, who was about the age of my older brother, and he could never hold a job. He just had one job after another. And the problem was that he could not take directions or orders from anyone. He always had to do it his way, not the way he was told, and he had a very hard time in life. Thank God for mothers who care enough, who love enough to discipline their children in order to make them respect authority in life. That's important. There's one other scripture I would refer to, and that's in 2 Timothy, first chapter. Paul writes to this young preacher. Paul, by this time, is an older man. And Timothy is a young preacher. Paul writes to him and says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy's faith in the Lord came at least in part from his mother and from his grandmother. It goes back to Abraham Lincoln. He said, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They've clung to me all my life." And it's like Proverbs says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. There's an awful lot in the Bible about moms and dads and children. You may have heard the story about four ministers who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One of them liked the King James Version because of its simple, beautiful English. Another one liked the American Standard Version best because it was a more literal, came nearer to the same meaning as the original Hebrew and Greek. The third minister liked the more modern New International Version. That's the one I usually use. But the fourth minister didn't say anything. And when they asked him his opinion, he said, "I like my mom's translation best." They looked at each other, wondered what he was driving at. He said, "My mom translated the Bible into everyday life, and it's the most convincing translation I ever saw." The mother lives a life of faith. Somebody with a poetic turn came up with this. She was just an old-fashioned mother. She didn't pretend to be smart. To care for her home and her dear ones was the wish that was first in her heart. We were raised by the old-fashioned rules so sparsely employed today, and when we so richly deserved it, we were spanked in the old-fashioned way. "A good name is far better," she'd say, "than all of the wealth of the nation. And truth is best any day since the very dawn of creation." She believed in the old-fashioned Bible. She trusted in old-fashioned prayer. She told us that Jesus would hear us if we'd speak anytime, anywhere. Thank God for an old-fashioned mother, for the Bible, an old-fashioned prayer, for the old-fashioned faith that is looking for our Lord to appear in the air. Somebody wrote, "Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but they hold their hearts forever." God bless you, mothers, for giving so much to your children. And I believe you have. I also know, though, that Mother's Day can be a rough day for some, those of us who've lost our mothers. Can't come to this day without a tinge of sadness. Or maybe for others, Mother's Day can be tough because we didn't treat our mothers as well as we should. Or maybe some don't have all that good a memory of how their mothers treated them. Let's face it, not all of us were blessed to have as good a mother as some of us. Some of you may have come to church today with some baggage, grief, guilt, resentment. These can get in the way of having a good Mother's Day. I want to remind you that the Lord we praise and worship today specializes in forgiving, healing, comforting, reconciling, all that good stuff. Give me your imagination for a moment. Let's pretend that this is not a church building. Let's think of this as a check-in counter at the airport. Think of this as a good place to leave your baggage today. Whatever burdens you came with today, let this be the place where you leave them. Because God promised to relieve your burdens by giving His Son Jesus to die for you and to forgive all the sins you ever committed in all your life. His love for you is even greater than the love of a mother for her child. And God wants to adopt you back into His family when you give your trust and obedience to His Son. And if you haven't done that already, I hope you will consider that this morning while we sing our hymn of invitation. It's number 452. And we'll be singing just the first and the last verses. Where he leads me, I will follow. Let's stand while we sing. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. Okay, before you leave, be sure to get whatever that is. It's just a tribute, small tribute to our mothers. And if you know a mother who's not here, take one, give to her. Okay? Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Father, you've made our lives rich in so many ways. But one of the dearest is the love of our mothers who give so much and ask for so little in return. We ask you to bless every one of them and help us to show that same limitless love in our own lives, for it's only a reflection of the love you show to us through your Son and our Savior Jesus. And we ask all this in his name. Amen.